please read item 184.
Accept $2.4 million grant from the Oregon Department of Transportation and authorize an intergovernmental agreement for the Northeast Halsey Street Bike Ped Transit Improvements Project and appropriate $300,000 in fiscal year 2018-19.
All right, this is my item. I'm pleased to bring this grant acceptance to Council for the important bike and pedestrian improvement to Outer Northeast Halsey Street. Nicole Pierce from Transportation is here to quickly walk us through the project. Welcome, Nicole. Please state your name for the record.
All right, thank you, Commissioner Udaly. Good morning, Commissioner Fritz, Commissioner Harsdy, and Commissioner Fish. My name is Nicole Pierce. I am the PBOT Capital Project Manager assigned to the Northeast Halsey Safety and Access to Transit Project, which, according to PBOT naming convention, should rightly be known as the Northeast Halsey Street 68th Avenue to 92nd Avenue Project. We actually But we actually have a lot of projects on Halsey right now, so that title makes it clear which of the many Halsey projects we're actually talking about. So the ordinance before you today is to accept a $2.4 million grant from ODOT and to appropriate $300,000 of that funding in this fiscal year so we can get started on the project right away. The mechanism for granting those funds is an intergovernmental agreement, so the ordinance will also approve that IGA. The project is the result of two planning efforts, the 2009 Eastside MAC Station Area Communities Report and the 2016 Growing Transit Communities Plan. Both of those planning efforts included extensive public involvement in the form of surveys, open houses, and advisory committees. The project is located in an area that scores high on the PBOT equity matrix, meaning there are higher than average populations of low income, limited English proficiency, and non-white populations. The project has a lot of community support, but I specifically want to mention two organizations. The first is JOIN, which is a homeless support nonprofit. They're located on Northeast 81st Avenue, just south of Halsey. And the second is the Multnomah County Juvenile Justice Complex, which is located on Northeast 68th Avenue, also south of Halsey. So looking at the map, the Juvenile Justice Complex is south of that westernmost circle, which represents a new crossing to go in at 68th and Halsey. And JOIN is just south of the new crossing that's shown at the circle in the middle of the map, which is a new crossing proposed at Northeast 80th and Halsey. In addition, TriMet has identified Northeast Halsey through this area for more frequent future transit service on Line 77. Northeast Halsey is a designated high crash network street for two of the three modes. That's for walking and driving. The project will also connect pedestrians and cyclists to the new multi-use path that will be built to the east. It's that solid green line shown on the far right side of this map, which will connect Northeast Halsey under I-205 to the Gateway Transit Center and Gateway Green. And one more thing, this project scored highest in the region during the 2016 round of regional flexible funds allocation. So I'm quickly going to go through some highlights of the scope, and I have some concept drawings to share, but I would need you to keep in mind that these are very early concepts, and they'll need to be vetted and fleshed out through the design process. So the project is centered on making it easier and safer for people to walk, bike, and roll to and from the 82nd Avenue MAC station. So starting from the west, we're proposing a new crossing at Halsey and 68th. As you can see, there's currently no crossing there, and if you know that area at all, 68th Avenue functions kind of like the end of a freeway off-ramp, so not a very safe spot. We'll be squaring up the intersection of 68th and Halsey, adding a crosswalk and a median island, which should make it a lot safer to cross in that area. We're also proposing new crossings at Northeast Halsey and 80th. Our draft concept, as you can see, shows two new crosswalks with median islands and some sidewalk infill and roundabout. And again, remind you that this is a draft concept. We'll have to see if a roundabout will actually work in this location.
Excuse me, Ms. Pierce. Will that roundabout have stop signs?
I do not know.
Or can we have a proper roundabout?
I don't know. And okay. Like I said, it's so early in design that we might not even end up with a roundabout.
I just had to put a little pitch in.
For once, without stop signs? Yeah, I hear you.
Where you would want yield signs. Yeah.
Like the ones in Bend.
You know what a proper roundabout is.
Well, I do, but the rules are different in the United Kingdom than they are here in terms of what is a roundabout. And so I think some clarity about who's supposed to yield to who and some consistency about who's supposed to yield to who would behoove us moving forward.
Yes, we'll definitely be having those conversations. And like I said, this is a very early design.
Excuse me, I have a question. Commissioner,
Commissioner,
can you tell me what is the pedestrian traffic in this area?
You know, I don't know the answer to that question. I think the hope is that if we make it safer for pedestrians, more people will walk, and more people specifically will be walking to make those connections to transit in the form of Line 77 and the MAC station.
Yeah, I that's kind of around the area that I live, and I'm just not sure that this is an area that pedestrians actually, I mean, that there's, I've never seen pedestrians, let me just say, use that area. So it's interesting to think about, is there housing close to this area, and this is why we're thinking about?
So this crossing here at 80th, like I mentioned, is close to that, to join. So that's, that's one source.
It's close to the 82nd MAC station, too. It's close to the 82nd MAC station in the
right.
Well, there's public transportation, but I think more importantly, it's a high crash incident zone.
It's on the high crash network for walking. So
I mean, the people that good reason people aren't walking there is because they're getting hit.
Right. And so the people that are walking there, we want it to make it safer for them.
Well, I think Commissioner Fritz raised a good point. We don't actually do a good job of educating people about who has the right of way and who doesn't in these kind of roundabout areas. So it does matter if people know who has the right of way.
Sure. And I mean, this doesn't exist yet, but I agree, especially with so many new residents pouring into the city every year who have different kind of standards and customs where they're coming from. I in addition to congestion, I think that's a real issue. We have some unique rules, and that has been something I've been kind of hammering away on, is public education around pedestrian and traffic safety.
Yeah, and consistency in how we
And when we do these projects, I know at least for the one on Columbia near the middle school, I'm blanking out on the middle school. It'll come to me. George, I was going to say Gregory. George, we have people come out and educate the community about the improvements so that they're not, I mean, I am often concerned when I see like a new hot crossing, for instance, that people are just going to think, oh great, there's a flashing beacon, it's safe to just stroll out into the street. But if you're strolling out onto a street where people are used to moving or driving unencumbered, unimpeded, that might not be the wisest decision. So we're definitely thinking a lot about that and also taking action.
And while we're on this slide, I'm assuming that this is accepting the grant. When the project comes back, there will be a contract for actually doing it, and that the actual design will come back to council. Is that correct?
Yes.
So looking at these pedestrian crosswalks, I'm going to be extremely reluctant to vote for contracts that don't have the signalized pedestrian crossings with the flashing lights. I think with some of our crosswalks having flashing lights and some of them not, even when there's a sign that says there's a crosswalk coming, if it doesn't happen to have had one of the flashing lights, there's a tendency for drivers to be thinking, well, there's no flashing lights, therefore I can continue speeding through. And so I think that we need to having the lights as a standard wherever we're encouraging people to cross the road.
Okay, and our traffic engineers will be looking at that. There are certain warrants that need to be met, and there are certain standards for different volumes of pedestrians and cars and bikes. So I can't promise that there'll be a light there. The traffic engineers will determine what the right treatment is, but
Well, I would strongly encourage you to do so because actually, you know, I've just been in England, so my accent is even thicker than ever. And I've noticed that they've gone away from the so-called zebra crossings. They don't have the stripes anymore. They only have the flashing lights where they're actually, and in fact, they have only stop lights. So it's not just a warning, it's a you will stop for these pedestrians. And I think that that's more and more the way that we should be thinking as our volume. You know, we've got traffic designs for now. We need to be looking at traffic designs for the next 50 years. And if, as we're encouraging more people to walk, we need to make sure that, as Commissioner Udaly said, they will if it's safer.
I hope it's not all the American tourists looking the wrong way when they begin to
cross. Oh, they've got this nice look left, look right on the floor because I'm completely lost.
Very
but
helpful.
Yes, it's actually written down. My mother said that it was had a lot of controversy about it being the nanny state. And I was like, well, I'm really appreciative because I'm constantly looking the wrong way.
Yeah, don't let me walk London streets unattended because I will probably be mowed down.
Sorry, we digress. Please go on.
That's okay. I knew throwing the roundabout in there might generate some conversation.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
You know, thought it, keep it lively. All right, so moving on. We're also looking at from Northeast 80th over that structure over I-84, we're proposing to stripe two-way buffered bike lanes on the south side of the structure. Currently, there are no bike facilities. And then continuing at the east end of the structure and onto 92nd Avenue, we're looking at constructing a multi-use path on the south side of the road. Let's see. So for both the buffered bike lanes and the multi-use path, we're not looking at reducing vehicle capacity in Halsey at all. For the multi-use path section, we are proposing to remove parking on the south side of Halsey. So, and that's all. Those are kind of the highlights of the scope. So as far as the schedule goes, we'll start with public involvement and some refinements of the scope this spring as soon as we get the funding from ODOT. And we'll hope to begin design probably late this summer with construction scheduled to start in the summer of 2021 and continuing into 2022. So,
great.
You guys have any other questions?
Colleagues? All right. Carla, is there any testimony?
Yes, we have one person, Charles Bridgecrane.
Welcome back. Please state your name for the record, as
Thank you.
You always do.
Thank you, Madam President. One day I'll forget to be Charles Bridgecrane Johnson, but I am right now. And I want to actually thank you for the camaraderie that you all have and the way that it turned to the very important topic of pedestrian safety. I want to particularly thank Commissioner Fritz, even though I guess I have totally lost track of whose bureaus are what, but you're all
transportation
commissioners in my heart because you're concerned about our safety. And, you know, she brings up an important point. When, as pedestrians, I'm mostly a pedestrian and transit person, and as an American pedestrian and transit person, I feel just as entitled as automobile owners. When I mash that crosswalk button, if it doesn't turn, I'm just going to go out there in danger. And so we need elected leaders talking about the reality of the way things are when people are getting off the bus and moving as pedestrians. So I hope that there's actually a formal process for the expression here about more signaled crosswalks and also how those signaled crosswalks work. If you build a signaled crosswalk where a pedestrian has to show up and stand for 47 seconds before they can see any of the lights do anything, start to count down, you're really not going to improve safety. There's really no reason why when a person pushes the button, they can't see one of the signs somewhere change and start to count down to a yellow light so that people can move safely. So that's actually how we're going to get to Vision Zero if we really talk honestly and clearly about getting yellow lights to come on when pedestrians push buttons. Obviously, this is except for a few caveats that are tangentially touched on here, this is something you need to push for. Whenever there's $2.4 million away from available from ODOT, and we only have to spend a little bit, that's great. It was weird coming in at 9:30 and seeing a bunch of testimony forms and not getting to talk to them about now, and having them a lot of them look like they related to ODOT. And you know, it makes me have a little bit more sympathy for you all about this weird, complicated dance. Because on one hand, we have to do these things where we might give land to ODOT or whatever, but then on the other hand, we're like, ODOT, please get the legislature to give us back 82nd Avenue. I'm glad to see the council composed of people who will encourage citizens to get into this rational conversation about where should the power of democracy and moving people really rest. Should you mostly not be ever giving powers to ODOT and making sure that local governments, instead of statewide government and state ODOT, have control and power over lands? This kind of relates to a couple of the other upcoming ones. But thank you very much for your attentiveness and your also candor about personal pedestrian experiences.
And I am very curious about our standard for crosswalk buttons, because some of them do seem to respond more quickly than others, and many people believe that they don't do anything at all. So yet another thing to clarify and educate the public about. Colleagues, any further discussion?
Thank you, Commissioner. I just had one thing to add. While those beacon lights make it safe for people to cross, there seems to be a long time that those lights are on. And so I think as we start expanding those, we should really think about, because what it does is just frustrate motorists, right? And you're looking and you're watching and you don't see anybody out in the crosswalk. And so what it does is frustrate folks so that they become less aware that those yellow blinking lights are there. And so I agree with you. I think public education around both the major safety issues that we all care about, but the timing is like, is it really necessary for it to be a minute after everybody's crossed for you to sit there and just wait for the light to be done?
I agree. I'm going to assume that the timing is based on the amount of time someone with a mobility challenge might need to safely cross the street. But I have witnessed the same thing, and I agree that without an understanding, drivers are frustrated and more likely to disregard those lights. Yeah. It's a delicate balance.
It is.
Okay. This is an emergency item, so Carla, please call the roll.
Fritz.
Good discussion, and thank you for your work. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Hardesty.
Aye.
Udaly.
Thank you, Nicole. Sorry I somewhat sidetracked your presentation with my question about the roundabout, but it was an interesting conversation or discussion nevertheless. I vote aye. The ordinance.